All right, Kevin Barker. Well, around these parts, you know, Alejandro Kirk is referred to as Captain Kirk. But I think after today, we ought to start calling George Springer Captain Canada. To quote you, that Grand Slam on Canada Day, big crowd, the Yankees, lots of folks watching on TV,
you bet everybody.
Lots of beer being consumed in the patio.
Without a doubt, I wish I was there.
That was freaking badass by George Springer.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the best he's looked in a long time, right? Even when he's having good years, ready to hit the fastball. You know, he's got good posture. Whenever he's sort of getting in those leverage counts and can zone a guy in, right? I mean, you look at the home runs he hit, right? It was the good 1-0 sweeper that he had a good swing on in his first homer that allowed him to be on time against the breaking ball. It was before the Grand Slam. It was the 1-1 changeup that he took instead of getting to 1-2 if he swung at the changeup. Now it's 2-1. That's called count leverage. When you have a guy that's red hot like George Springer, it's all about count leverage against good pitching. When you get in it, you can educate guests. It gives you a better chance of guessing and allow them to throw it right down the middle. What do I always say, Jeff? You got to let them. When you let them, you can do things like that. That was a lot of fun to watch.
12-5, the Blue Jays. They steamrolled the New York Yankees. They've taken the first two games of this four-game series. Folks, they are one game back of the New York Yankees, who are sitting atop the division lead. Not that it matters on July 1st.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, yeah, it does. I'm just kidding. So here's what's going to happen here. We're on TV up until about 6:57. Then we're going to be radio only. So we're going to throw out our radio numbers for those of you who want to call in. 416-870-0590, *590. 1-888-666-0590, 590-590. As I said last night, you're going to be stuck in traffic anyhow. So if you're listening to us coming home, feel free to drop us a line.
Yep.
We were not down at the stadium today, but I know when we were there last night, that to me was a playoff atmosphere. And it sure felt coming through the TV today that this was... There was a little extra here about this game. There really was.
You think so?
Yeah.
Look, I like to joke about what John says all the time, 9-1. I think it was 27-1 the last 2 days. You want to know why I say that? Anytime Judge comes to town, there's got to be a grown-up in the room. You see John's not afraid to walk
13 intentional walks from John Schneider in 37 games.
As the manager,
The Blue Jays against Aaron Judge. Nobody in baseball, right?
Yeah.
Has intentionally walked Aaron Judge as much as John Schneider. And Aaron Judge was on base a lot today, but you know what he didn't do, folks?
Driving a run.
Really didn't come through with that big killing Aaron Judge hit.
Yeah, well, you don't let him, right? I mean, I'm surprised that other managers are not doing this. John's not afraid, right? Nobody out a guy on first. I don't care. I'm taking my chances to everybody else. If I walk away losing to the Yankees, it ain't because that dude is hitting balls to the moon. 27-1, I'll continue to say it.
7 RBI for George Springer today.
Oh, boy.
Andrés Giménez, I don't want this to get lost by any stretch of the imagination as we await to hear from John Schneider. I don't want this to get lost by any stretch of the imagination. A 3-run homer for Andrés Giménez, single, he walked. He looks a little different at the plate, Kevin. I know Danny and Joe talked about it. You saw something else as well. With Andrés Giménez in the past couple of games.
Yeah, well, I said this about a week ago. He needs to stop doing the scissor thing. Scissor thing means you step one way with your lower half, your hands go a different direction. Your barrel looks like a pair of scissors, right? He's not doing that anymore. Now they've made an adjustment with the lower half. He's not kicking it to the moon anymore. He's not stepping towards the shortstop. He has better direction, which allows the barrel to stay in the zone longer, which keeps both eyes on the target. When both eyes are on the target, that allows me to lay off a left-handed breaking ball to get a sinker elevated middle-middle. When you get those, you got a better chance because you're a little bit more quiet. You have a better direction. Barrel's in the zone longer. You think big part of the field because you're able to do that because of your lower half. Again, everybody's doing their part, which is what you have to do against a team like this.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Some of these things get lost in a game where you have, obviously, home runs and a grand slam. A couple of things I want to touch on, though. Yankees defense, again, atrocious. Fourth inning, two out. That Jays inning, basically, Jimenez's home run was built off a play that Jazz Chisholm doesn't make.
Yeah.
Addison Barger reaches base on an error by the catcher and catcher's interference. Mm-hmm. Those two things, I don't want them to get lost in the game. But again, this is the thing with the Yankees, and the reason I can't go all in on the Yankees is I just don't think you can win with Jazz Chisholm as your everyday third baseman. And I just don't think that they're a good defensive team. I still have that image of the World Series and Judge dropping the ball. I just don't think that they have the type of defense that is going to allow them to go on a run this
year.
I
think it would be real hard with Jazz playing third base, just the up and back, the arm strength. I think he's got that, the accuracy. I just think it's plays that need to be made all the time as one of those guys that plays every day. I don't think he can make those in big moments. We saw that today. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a thing. You give a little bit of a crack in the door. Good teams like the Jays. Yeah, I said that. Good teams like the Jays are going to run through that.
They're better than the Yankees right now?
Absolutely. They are the fourth best team in the American League. Raise your hand if you disagree. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're lying. That's what you're doing. You're lying.
Yeah, no, I
don't
know.
Right now, they're the fourth best team, right? I mean, again.
Yankees, Astros, Rays. You're throwing the Rays in there.
And the Tigers. The Tigers, the Rays, the Astros.
And the Jays.
And I said it, the Jays. Wow. As of right now, I know the Yankees got a better record, but still, like, who would you take? Who would you want to bet your check on every 15 days right now? Yeah, with the way you're seeing, again, I bring back that John thing when he was on our show on Friday, and I asked him how he's going to handle Judge, and he said he's going to handle it just like he's doing it. I said the 27th guy, you can't walk away from this series with where the Jays are and what they're doing and go, that guy beat us two out of the four games. He just can't do it. So, again, it's just kind of cool that he actually said it, and he's doing it.
Go to John Schneider. He is the manager of the victorious Toronto Blue Jays.
John, on George's Grand Slam, what's that experience like for you to not just watch it go out, but have him come back to the dugout, that entire sequence?
That was really cool. Huge day from him. You know, I think that what he's done this year has been great. What he did today was pretty amazing, career high in RBIs. You know, it was kind of a special feeling. You know, it's a really good reliever in Weaver, and you know, it's just an awesome swing. He was pumped up. Whole dugout was. It was pretty cool.
Like, even going back to last year when things were not going well, the spring when things were not going well, like, you've always been very much behind George. What about him has made you do that? Why has that been?
It's easy, man. You look at his track record, and you know, I get when guys get a little older, things tend to slow down. George kind of is the opposite with his physical capabilities, and I think last year just kind of snowballed on him a little bit. So for a guy that's won a World Series MVP, put up ridiculous numbers in this league, conversations that we have that no one else is, you know, privy to, it just never – you never stop believing in him, and it's paying off right now.
And what is it about the Yankees that brings this out in him? Because his – previous career high was against them too, right when he started to get going last year.
I don't know. I think George is a big time player when he's at his best, and likes moments like that. You know, he's one of the few guys that has been in spots that not many people have, and it's easy to slow the moment down. So, yeah, I can remember a couple years ago Georgie talking to the group about September baseball, playoff baseball, and kind of the way to approach it. So I think that he's at the point where he can kind of do that every day. And, you know, it's big-time player, big-time swing.
What was the difference between first trip through against Fried and the next?
He's really good. You know, first hit was from George, obviously. I think that any pitcher is going to make a few mistakes. The really good ones, they make very few. And the curveball George hit, it wasn't a terrible pitch. And I think that once you kind of get going, you get a pitch count up in a certain inning, that takes a toll on any pitcher. So kind of underrated things, you know, with two outs, Schneid getting down the line, beating out the infield single, Miles walk, and then what a swing by Hemi, you know, left on left. But you kind of need to do that against pitchers like that. You know, it wasn't like you're going and expecting to score a lot. You know, the swing from Jimenez was awesome. And then I think you kind of wear a guy down a little bit, and you're able to chase him.
George wasn't DHing today, but do you think that because he's primarily DHing this season, that that has contributed to his renaissance as a hitter? Or how do you account for that?
Yeah, I think that helps him for sure. You know, it's a guy that's played a lot of innings for us, played a lot of innings in his career. So I think when you're trying to kind of plan out a season, you kind of put all those things in the equation, you know, the fatigue, you know, he plays at one speed. So I think getting him off his feet a little bit has really helped him. He's kind of learned how to do it and enjoys it. But back-to-back days in the outfield, you know, old man still got it.
John, on the first homer by George, you could see him kind of get his front foot down early and then kind of stay back and then be on time for the curveball there. What do you read into way he's timing up pitchers when he's able to make that adjustment there?
Yeah, that's just him putting in the work with Pop and Lou and Hunter. You know, just you have to have a really specific plan against a guy like Fried. And that's just a guy being athletic in the box and kind of riding out his swing and hitting it hard. So, Georgie can hit curveballs. You know, I think he has the ability, righty or lefty, to kind of wait on those things and hit them hard. So, it starts with a good approach, and it starts with the right intent, and probably protecting on a cutter in a little bit or a changeup. So it's hard. I mean, it's hard to do that, but I think that's kind of where George is right now.
In terms of Gausman, a lot of several opportunities where he limited the damage there,
yeah.
And also for Fisher in that spot in the seventh as well, where that game could have certainly spun out. Just maybe the role of damage control in this game from you guys from a pitching side.
Yeah, they wore Kev down. There were some close pitches. There were some deep counts. Kev had good stuff. I think, you know, like we've talked about the last couple of outings with him, getting to 1-2 as opposed to 2-1, had trouble doing that. And then to limit that inning, I think, in the fifth, kind of, you know, emptying the tank a little bit was big and, you know, uncharacteristic with the walks. So, Kev, that's what he can do. And with Fish, man, we gave him about 6 outs, 7 outs that inning. And for a young guy, Canada Day, rookie, you know, he didn't budge, you know. So, that's just another little check mark for him in terms of being thrown into the fire and not budging. So, we usually don't do that. That's kind of really not our MO, but I love the way that we responded after that inning where we kind of gave him 2 runs and kind of got right back after it.
There's been some memorable seventh innings in the team's history, the Jose bat flip 10 years ago, but we might circle back on this one too with the couple of high hoppers that turned into errors. Team ties it up 4-4. What were the ups and downs for you, and then coming back, obviously, with the 5 runs?
Yeah, I mean, Ernie's about as good as they get at third, you know, and you got Stanton running where you have some time, kind of a weird in-between hop, and just very uncharacteristic of him. Same with Vlad, too, you know, had to play at the plate there. And I think with that, it's a fortunate break with the catcher's interference. It's two nights in a row, obviously, with Barger there and then Ernie getting the hit and George homering, but It was a roller coaster. You know, I think we're just accustomed to kind of squashing those innings. You know, you try to bring guys in and get the job done in the right spots, and our defense is pretty damn good at kind of putting out fires, and today wasn't the case, but you flip the script offensively, again, against a good reliever. I think that kind of shows what we can do. It can be a different way every single night.
I know it's just another game, but it's against the first place team, another sellout. But something a little special with it being Canada Day, and when the team came out and held the flag, I mean, did you feel the country behind you,
yeah,
not just the home crowd?
Yeah, that was cool. You know, I know we've never done that, and that's something that is you have to respect that. You know, when you're standing out with military people that are protecting and serving the country, you know, I think everyone, myself included, I was standing next to DeMarlo, so I don't know everyone, but I think everyone kind of had a cool moment. To say thank you to everyone. Jets flying over was really cool. And it was a cool way to start. I thought we did a great job with everything, you know, recognizing the people, the military. And you could kind of feel the support when the anthem was going. And it was a really good day.
Hey, John, just another George question. How close do you think we're getting to the best of George Springer? And related to that, how influential is what he is doing right now to the rest of the guys in that
room? Good question. I think this is when you think about George being productive, this is kind of what you envision, you know. Again, I remember in spring training saying, hey, George, I don't want you to hit 40 homers. You know, I want you to be productive at bat throughout this lineup. And he's really grasped onto that. And when a guy like that does it, it trickles down to everyone else. It really does. We have some big-name players, and I think when they're having success, it just allows everyone else to be a little bit more free. I know that sounds a little bit cliche, but those guys, you know, him, Bo, Vlad, Varsh, Max, Kevin, Chris, their voice holds weight. And when they're going about it the right way and they're getting down the line on ground balls and they're taking extra bases, it sets a standard to where everyone kind of has to do it. And that's what I think is really cool about this club.
Just back to the flag for a second. How did that come about? Did the upstairs bring it to you? Did you have to talk to the team? How'd that happen?
No, that was the upstairs kind of bringing it to us and the team, saying we're going to do something a little different. And we were all on board with it. So a little weird going from the line, walking out to the outfield. Kind of took a little bit of time. I was hoping we didn't mess up the flyover. But I thought it was a great idea. You know, I think that we do a really good job on this particular day with both recognizing and honoring the country. And I think the fans really appreciate that. So it was brought to us from the people that kind of put the show on, and everyone was on board.
Well, there you go. Welcome back to Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker, 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590-595-90 is the text line. That was John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin, the Jays 12-5 winners over the New York Yankees. They are a game back of the Yankees. This was, I mean, a lot of good things went on today.
Mm-hmm.
This was George Springer's day, though. 100th career home run as a Blue Jay is a grand slam, 7 RBIs. Ooh. And it kind of reminds us, I think, he probably won't go to the All-Star game, but I think it kind of reminds us that in a lot of ways from start to finish, he's been
MVP of the team, you could say.
Pretty much, pretty close.
Yeah, I think he's done everything they ask him to do, and then some, right? I mean, the big, it's just count leverage. You know, he used to be a real good educated guesser. I don't think he does that anymore. John was talking about the game planning. Looks to me like he's always ready for velocity. If you can do that, it just allows you and frees you up to hit mistakes when it comes to the secondary stuff. His swing's better on him. That's just gives him a chance.
416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. We've got some calls. We've got some texts to get to, but first we're going to step away, come back and take a look around the AL East, set the rest of the schedule for you on this Canada Day. The Toronto Blue Jays beating the New York Yankees 12-5. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Right on right, the 2-1 pitch from Luke Weaver. Swing and a high fly ball, left center field and deep, back to the wall, it is gone! Grand slam, George Springer, his 100th homer as a Toronto Blue Jay, blows it open in the 7th. Blue Jays 9, Yankees 4 on Canada Day.
Yeah, that certainly did blow the game open. The Toronto Blue Jays going on to a 12-5 win over the New York Yankees. They have taken both games, the first two games, I should say, of this four-game series. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker along with you for Blue Jays Talk. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. We'll get the text, we'll get the phone lines in a minute, but first, time now for the Bet365 standings update. At Bet365, you can bet on popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly, Ontario only. The Jays game, of course, is the only game in the books. The Jays 12-5 winners over the New York Yankees. The Tampa Bay Rays and the Athletics are just underway at George M. Steinbrenner Field. In other games, the Boston Red Sox are getting ready to take on the Cincinnati Reds. Baltimore is in Texas. And who am I missing here? I think I've got everybody else
covered.
I think you did. I've got everybody else covered.
There you go.
The Jays are one game back of Mr. Barker's Yankees.
I don't want them. I know how to beat him now.
Let's see if Russ in New Jersey wants him. Russ, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know even where to start. You know, you go back a year, everybody, including me, I'll admit it, didn't want to. It was saying, George Springer, just get him out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Get him out of here. Mm-hmm. You know, we all wanted these guys out. It's, and George Springer had a great career, but, you know, you decline at that age, and it's unbelievable. You know, this – I remember some – you know, the Yankees, obviously, I remember 85 very well, but if you remember 85, they had that first series against the Yankees. I don't know if you remember – I remember the build-up towards that series. Ron Hassey hit a huge homer against us. We lost all three. But, you know, I want to talk about a couple things and something that you brought up. But first of all, you know, no Bo Bichette today, and we still scored 12 runs. No Bo Bichette and Vladdy and Kirk going over. So, you know, that just shows about this team. But you talk about little things. And little things are – this team doesn't strike out. They struck out the least in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. They take let's talk about some little things. Last night, Lucas, the ball bounced. He read the play perfectly when it got a little bit away from the catcher, took the extra base. I see Tyler Heineman walk today, which if I'm a Yankee, you know, pitching coach, I'm not happy about that. But Tyler Heineman getting a walk against the Red Sox with the base loaded. The walk in the inning, you know, got him in as to second larger. Then you had the Springer play. But this team, yes, they made two errors today in the field. This team gets the bat on the ball. They look like that. They look like, you know, they make the right plays. I don't want to get too far in front of myself, and I know you said they're the fourth best team, and we can argue that from here till tomorrow. I'll say one thing. You know, they played Houston early on, and Houston killed them. They beat them, like, I think, 15-2 or something. They outscored them in 3 games. But if you played them close, you lost 2 one-run games, and you won 1 run game. I know they didn't have their ace on the mound when you faced them. But this team, you know, this kind of team, it doesn't either look like pressure, you know, phases them. They get down. They have good at-bats. They foul off pitches. Today, Fried was very good, but they kept on, you know, 6-7 pitch at-bats, and eventually, like Schneider said, it helps you out. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it is exciting. It is exciting, and, you know, we'll see how the rest of the season plays out.
Absolutely. Russ, thanks for the call. I mean,
great call, Russ.
You know, the thing about, and we've talked about this a lot, about this team, And Russ is right. You know, they've won these two games with the Bo. Dalton Varsho isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Santander's not here. Jimmy Garcia is in Toronto. He was not active for today's game. I've got to think he's active for tomorrow's
game.
You
think so?
Based on...
Fingers crossed.
They were down to the stems and seeds in the bullpen.
They were pushing.
You know, today. So...
that's a nice way to put it. You're getting a little softer in your old age, bud. I kind of like it.
Every now and then I get flashbacks.
That's right.
To come up with these, especially today's win, because I got to tell you the truth. I looked at this series and I gave the Jays a chance in 3 of the 4 games. I didn't give them a chance in this game because I just thought Max Fried was going to carve them up. And look, he did. He did up until that misplay by Jazz Chisholm, and then it was almost as if it just kind of... It all came undone. And Max, you know, Max Fried doesn't have outings like that. And I think Russ's point is right. You know, people ask about the DNA of this team and what the identity is. And we've talked about it. And I'm beginning to think when we talk about the identity of this team, number one for me.
Defense.
Number one for me is they don't strike out.
Mm.
That's going to be it. They remind me in a lot of ways of some of those good Yankees and Red Sox teams that just didn't strike out and they just wore guys down. I don't know. I don't see why that can't continue.
Yes.
I don't see why that approach. I mean, we're July 1st. This is even when they were scuffling this year, mm-hmm. they weren't striking out a ton. We were talking about that. They were getting men on base. They just weren't getting coming up with hits.
Yep.
So I think that's this team's identity. And if they keep it up, yeah, they've got better than a puncher's chance of winning this division.
If you remember, Don Mattingly, I think, said that in spring training, that they're not going to hit a bunch of homers to win a bunch of games. They're going to have to do it in different ways. Maybe they knew something starting out that we didn't know. Maybe that was the approach in spring training.
Possible.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they were telling other guys that were having down years that this is what they need to do. You know, we'd heard move the ball forward. We laughed. We chuckled. That's sort of what they're doing, no? I mean, they're getting in good counts. If you listen real close, you heard John talk about Kevin Gausman flipping the counts, right? Didn't see a ton of 1-2s. It was more 2-1s. Look at the Springer Grand Slam, right? It's the difference in swinging the change up or not swinging at it. If I swing at it, it's 1-2. Probably don't have a chance of doing that. 2-1, I got a good chance of getting one down the middle because now I can zone in, look in that window, maybe be ready for a little extra velocity, gives me a chance to have better posture, have a little lean back. Go to Back Lake City. So, yeah, look, it's a lot of fun seeing it this way. You know, I still think there's going to have to be a month here going forward where some of the big boys, that might include Tony who comes back, maybe Varsho, Vladdy's going to have one of those couple of weeks span where he's just – you just can't do anything but walk him if you're an opposing manager. I do think there's going to have to be a couple of weeks. Maybe a month might be too strong just because they don't strike out, but maybe a couple of weeks of that. But you can't argue with what they're doing. And, every time I say the 9-1, you laugh and throw things at me. And
well, I don't throw things.
You
I
do,
just
but
laugh
you know,
it's a silly thing.
It is not. It's playing out right in front of our eyes.
Nine guys aren't standing at the plate
at
the same time.
Well, they're not striking out. They're not striking out as nine guys.
Come on, it's 1-1. That's what baseball is.
It is not. You pass the baton because you're not afraid to walk. You're not. All you want to do is.
I got your baton right here. Pass the baton.
I got so many things I could say about that.
You probably shouldn't.
Who's the next caller?
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590. Happy Canada Day, everybody.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful
day. I'm wearing
a
hat, for goodness sake.
Wearing a Canada Day hat, and we're not even on TV.
I know. Well, we were for 7 seconds.
I don't know if we were. They may not be able
to
get
the TV side. You know, they can't heavy lifting.
You know how it is,
Caleb.
Mark from Ottawa. Why do we send Rodriguez in the ninth with the 12-4 lead? Simple answer for that. He was going to get the ninth today. Jeff Hoffman wasn't going to pitch. I mean,
everybody else. I answered for you. It's
there
easy.
Was nobody else.
Nobody else.
And once he was up, he was in. So I mean, that's
been throwing down there since like the fourth inning.
Yeah. Once he was up, he was
pitching.
In. Andy from Ottawa. Would you add a pitcher like Seth Lugo from Kansas City? What arms would you guys like to see the Jays add? I mean, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I think you need a leverage arm for the bullpen.
Brian Helsley, a name like that.
Yeah, you need somebody to keep Chad Green away from the sharp objects.
Well, Fluharty too. Hey,
yeah.
I mean, that's getting a little down
right.
that road that
Seth
you may want
to
have a conversation
to me
about.
Seth Lugo is the type of guy these guys would get. And now people are going to roll their eyes. Well, Seth Lugo isn't a guy that's necessarily going to start for you in game one of the postseason.
Give you innings, though.
He give you innings. And
take
you know
pressure
what?
Off the three guys.
Yeah. And,
which is important.
There may not be that guy out there that that starts for you in game one.
Yeah.
In game one of the series, because I just don't see the teams, the teams that are going to be out of it. I mean, the name that kind of intrigues me is Luis Severino. It's not a horrible contract. I think it's like $20 million a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's been good on the road. He sucks in Sacramento. And he hates being in Sacramento.
Well, that's the routine, right? Well, it's me. I don't know how to do a routine.
But I would take
too far to the peak.
I would take a shot at a guy. Have you seen how big he is? It might be. I would take a shot at a guy like Luis Severino.
I mean, that's a good one. He's power guy. Power late in the season plays.
I mean, if you want to give me Mason Miller and him, talk about something.
Well, it depends on what the Jays are willing to give up.
It would indeed depend on what the
and we have no idea. Do you have any idea? I don't either.
George Springer has not yet spoken, but Kevin Gausman sure has, and he had this to say about Captain Canada. I'm going to call him that from now on.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was outside. Unfortunately, I was inside with some bags of ice on my arm, but he just has a crazy ability to kind of rise up to the occasion, and you've seen it lately. He hit a grand slam in Cleveland not that long ago, so he's a huge spark plug for us. And, when he's playing well, we're usually playing well as a team. And so it was nice to see him contribute the way that he did.
Boom.
Kevin Gausman, what'd you make? We didn't really talk a great deal about Kevin Gausman today. What did you make of his outing today? Is it based on what we saw the last time? Step forward, step sideways, step backwards? Neither.
Well, I mean, what he averaged almost 20 pitches per inning. That's a lot, right? I mean, I think that he's talked a lot about the tempo and the balance of the leg kick. You know, Caleb has talked a lot about that too. Whenever he caught him, that was just sort of the thing they were honing in on. You got to stay over the rubber. You know, the separation when the ball leaves the glove has to be on point where the leg kick's at because of how rushed it looks. On occasion, that will throw him off. He had a lot of non-competitive pitches. That's why you saw the pitch count where it was at. That's why you saw the pitches per inning. I mean, look, he's doing it. Jeff, again, I said this, and I'll continue to say it. He does this with two pitches. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a miracle that he can do this against the big bad Yankees. Again, think about that. Like, and sometimes he's trying to be unpredictable with the two, which is almost impossible, right? That's why he's trying to throw fastballs down. And, you know, I think he was trying to make an effort because of just whatever reason it wasn't coming out where it was supposed to come out at. He was trying to crowd him a little bit to open up the, you know, the changeup had a little bit more sink than normal. The fastball velocity was a little all over the place. It was a little erratic. But bend but don't break. You know, that's sort of the theme, I think, with two out of the three, big three. You know, in Bassett and Gausman, bend but don't break. You know, you can have the inning, the third inning, the fourth inning. What was it? The Bellinger fly out with the two guys on. That's a big deal because it left the big boy standing on the on deck circle. I looked at you. You looked at me. I said, boy, wouldn't this be exciting if the big boy would come up, bases loaded. What'd you do?
That.
And you were like, I did say that.
You said that. I said, I don't want to see that.
You didn't, but I did because it's baseball, and I'm a baseball fan. I love seeing stuff like that. And then the fifth inning was sort of the same old thing, right, two on the Stanton K. Like, bend but don't break. When I need to make a pitch, I make it. When I need to rear back and get my best heater, my best velocity, and my best location, I can do it. And dude's been pitching forever. He does it with two pitches. Let's not get too overly excited about this. But I think if you're the front office and you're watching and you know what you're looking at, you're like, don't be afraid to go out and give him some help.
Todd in Minneapolis, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
You know, looking at the run differential for the Yankees at a plus 105 versus the Blue Jays plus 4, is that an indicative of earlier in the season when the Yankees were stronger, or is that just an indication that, well, the Blue Jays are...
Uh-oh. I think Todd's line fought. First of all, Todd, thanks for calling us. Dropped. Blue Jays, the run differential in the AL East right now, the Yankees are plus 105, Tampa Bay's plus 69, Toronto's plus 4, Boston's plus 17, Baltimore is minus 73. I think it's an indication of the kind of team the Jays have been this year. You know, again, two key offensive contributors, or two key players that we thought would be offensive contributors, Anthony Santon, Darren Dalton, Varsho, have basically been... they've been non-factors this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jays are getting a whole bunch of run or giving a whole bunch of run to guys that, quite frankly, three of them probably should be at Triple-A or could be at Triple-A. I'm not taking anything away from them, but they're certainly not everyday players.
Yeah.
You like it? Here's the thing. It's trending in the right direction, and to me it's all about where you are closer to the trade deadline than right now. I think you really start zeroing in on run differential when you look at the trade deadline. I think you look at your record against other teams in the division that, you know, teams that are around you. And the other thing too is, you know, sometimes I think it's just, there's just a situation where there's a whole bunch of things conspiring for the Blue Jays. With this window of opportunity involving Bo's contract, you've just signed Vladdy. You've got a whole bunch of pitchers that are going to be free agents next year. You've got a front office that, as far as we know, isn't under contract. There's a lot going on here that makes me think that this team will look at run differential a little differently than another team might look at run differential. This team would have to be in last place double digits out of a wild card spot for them to do anything other than add.
Yeah, I think Bo's been better. I think Kirk's been better. I think Vladdy's been better. I think Barger was a pleasant surprise. I think there's they're getting it throughout the entire lineup.
And I'm going to say this. We had a conversation with Shai Davidi last night at the ballpark, and it got me thinking, really got me thinking, because we've talked a lot about going out and adding a veteran starter, or maybe you're going to trade for a guy who's a potential free agent. Shai made an interesting point. This feels to me, it's beginning to feel to me that we're looking a lot more at a scenario where the Jays try to make another Jose Berríos deal than maybe simply going out and getting a rental guy. I mean, you could still do that. You could get Ryan Helsley, I suppose. You could still do that. But, yeah, Shai got me thinking when he said that. And given the way, given the fact that the Jays minor league system still seems to be more a matter of quantity over quality, I can see a situation emerging where the Jays would try to do another deal. Like, get a guy who's maybe 2 or 3 years away from free agency, try to extend him. I think that when we start looking at potential players to be traded, I think maybe we need to dig a little deeper than just the guy who's the number two starter in a team that might be out of it, or a guy who's a position player in a team that might be out of it. There may be a little more, there may be a little more involved than that.
Yeah.
When this organization makes
a move. Sure a lot of fans don't care about 3 years from now. They care about this year because the team's good. The American League is not great.
Yeah.
I think they're looking for that. And an eighth inning guy. That's me.
The man of the day, George Springer, Captain Canada, 7 RBIs, a grand slam, his 100th career home run as a member of the Blue Jays. This is George Springer talking about DHing this year and what impact, what it has done in terms of keeping his body fresh.
It may be, you know, I think, you know, being that allows me to kind of, you know, take a lot of stress off my body, you know, allows me to, you know, do things that I haven't been able to do when you're in the field. And I just think for me is, again, I know what Schneider wants from me. I understand what I need to do to help this team. And I just believe, you know, whether I'm in the field or OP that day, you know, I need to go execute my game plan.
What does OP mean to you that's not encompassed by DH?
I call it offensive player. Because I joke with Schneider about saying that offense isn't just hitting. It's about, you know, going first to second, you know, first to third, getting in a scoring position for guys, you know, doing anything that you can on the bases as well. And, you know, especially because if I'm not out in the field, I got to, you know, and I got to make sure I can run. So, you know, that's pretty much why I call it offensive player, and it is what it is.
There you go. George Springer, you are Captain Canada, and no less an authority than Kevin Barker has declared you a badass.
Absolutely. The baddest.
That was a badass performance today.
I told you. It was. I wish everybody could run around the bases with a crowded stadium. It's nothing like it.
The Toronto Blue Jays have waxed, I love that word, the New York Yankees 12-5. They've taken the first two games of this four-game series. The third game goes tomorrow. Thank you, as always, for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Hearst and New Liskeard. I've been to New Liskeard. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.